This is Dominion Hour with GSW, a sacred time of spirit-led teaching and prophetic prayer grounded on the Word of God. With meekness of heart, may you receive the engrafted Word of God that is able to deliver monumental transformation in your life today and always. Blessings to you always.
Blessed be your holy name, Lord. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Everybody should know that we are having open classes now at 10 p.m. every day. Today will be day two. Usually having for 2 weeks. And after that, we'll then announce for people to join PSSBC School 26. So that they can start with us for the new session for the third quarter of the year. I also like to say emphatically, do not be hearers of the word, be doers. Be doers of the word in a season, in a month, in this month, where we do prayers. I deliberately put all my most difficult projects, deliberately. Whenever we are building a project and we need a massive amount of money, I'm looking forward to February, or I'm looking forward to June or September. I'll be saying that the way they are doing this thing, by the time we get to September, they should give me the roofing or this or that. It has never failed. We are going to deck Mima City. It was in a month like this. We are going to roof. It was in a month like this. We are going to do the windows of the hotel. It was a month like this. When the project will do, when they will give me a bill, a starting bill of 200 million thereabouts to clear in a few days. It is in the month like this that I have the strength, the capacity, the boldness, it's not as if only good I don't, but because we are praying. Because we are praying, my audacious nature. I believe nothing can fail. So I do not, and I get them done. All my other cases, all the supernatural cases that I've been waiting for, answers to, when we get to this month, this is the month I kill them, I solve them, this month. Because we are all praying. See, there is deliberate application of pressure in the heavenly places, in the hearts of men, in the mindsets. There's a deliberate application of pressure in the presence of the Lord, in the place of prayer. Husband and wife will fight less because both of them are praying. Therefore, they will be able to speak to God, and both of them are praying, speak to God, and then they will be able to get answers. When they are driving, they are praying. When they are walking, they are praying. So there is pressure within their innards, in their body, in their hearts, in their every recess of the body. This is where people that have HIV and other things, this is the month that, by the grace of God, they get healed. Why? Because they will subject the body to so much pressure in the place of prayer, aided by the conditional prayer of the church. Because the anointing that comes for personal prayer and the one that comes for conditional prayer are two different kinds of anointing. You will see it in the Bible. When the Bible said that as the church prayed, the angel of the Lord appeared in the book of Acts chapter 8, you will then realize that when we pray together, we are able to summon the angel of the church. And the leader of the church will then go ahead and do the will of the people. He will be backed by the corporate anointing. So when we pray together, I'm very deliberate about it. I'm embarking on a project now. I wanted to do it before. I said, this thing will be difficult. So I told the person that will do the work. I said, let's pray with May, no. June, when we start praying, so I called the Bayosa Okoro. I said, I'm ready now. It is this month that we'll do that thing. The reason I said that was because we are in the month of June. I know that no resistance. It is impossible. We are praying. We are praying. So every thought and imagination from any quarter, in terms of opposition, in terms of anybody trying to raise up their head, in the place of prayer, they do not have a space. You know, it's something that you want to see a judge and you say, I want to come and appeal a case. But when the person is there constantly for 30 days, how will I give you space to come and say your own? Both of us are going to God now. You If I want to oppress you and you want to oppress me, and both of us are going to God and I'm praying for 30 days straight, and within that 30 days, what I want to be done. Therefore, you also are a child of God. If you don't pray like I'm praying, I'm going to get the advantage. It is, I understand how it works. So this is not the kind of prayer that I just praying because you are participating. That's not how I pray. In fact, in my life, I've never prayed participatory prayer. I do not like people just praying for the sake of praying. I believe it is a very silly thing to do. I believe in setting targets. I believe in shooting arrows, and I believe in hitting my targets. 100%. So I will set the targets like a marksman, and I will stand where I stand, and I would perceive, I would aido, I would gauge, and I will shoot my arrow. I will not miss my target. This is the month where my brothers, who they have told, oh, there's something wrong with your body somewhere. Your sperm count is low. There is no morbidity. There is no. This is the kind of month where you will be like, okay, for these 30 days, I will pray. I just be eating once a day at 6 p.m. I want to regulate my body. No, I have taught this once before, but to a small number of people. So let me teach it again. Because it's an open class, and you may never hear it from anybody more than before or after now. When you read your scriptures, certain mysteries are made open. But many of us read these mysteries and read them like stories. We do not take time to see how God does whatever God does. We don't take time to say, okay, why did God do that? Okay, how did God do that? We know many of us don't do that. We don't pay attention to God. And God will do something. He will tell us how he did it. But we don't pay attention to God. Maybe because he is God. Well, the same spirit that inspires God is living in you. Therefore, if God did something, pay attention to what God did so that you can replicate it. The Bible said in the book of Genesis, God has closed all creation. Pay attention to that. He has closed all of creation by the seventh day. Therefore, everything he did, he has called it perfect. He has closed all of creation. He has replicated heaven and earth. He has brought man. He himself was the image that is ruling in heaven, and he has made man the image that is ruling on the earth. He has brought all the animals, a symbol of all the archangels and the four living beasts. He has brought them to the earth to become the animals. So he has replicated heaven on earth successfully. The Bible then said the work was done. The meaning of the work was done was that complete, finite, it is done, it's over. Then Adam began to work, and God noticed that Adam had no helpmeet. That means Adam couldn't find his kind. And God wanted to give Adam his kind. So the Bible said God made Adam sleep. One, look at the process. He said he made him sleep. And then he took a bone out of him. And it was through that bone, it was with that bone that he then created Isha, the woman, Adam female, Isha, I-S-H-A-H. He created her from it. It was Adam that later named her Eve. She was, they were Ish and Isha, male and female. Pay attention to that process. Okay. So then they told the brother, they said, oh, we've looked at your body. You don't have any sperm. We tried. Even with antibiotic, we gave you injection, we gave you everything. The sperm are just standing like this. They are like static. They are not swimming. We tried to give your sperm injection. Your sperm rejected injection. Your spouse are dead. There is no baby in you. You are sterile. So they will tell a Christian brother that. But because he has no awareness, no edo, he has no ability to perceive through the word of God, through the lens of God, what to do. He cries, he accepts, adopts. Some even commit suicide. Some begin to live their life like as if there is nothing to live for, there is no future, there is no hope, since they cannot father children. But the Bible told us how Adam was able to have Eve told us clearly. That it was from the bones that a human being came from. It didn't say it came from the sperm, it didn't say it came from the scrotum, it didn't say it came from erection, it said it came from the bones. How then do you draw power from your bone? How do you draw it? The bone, inside the bone, there's a bone marrow. It's very important for you to understand. All these things are connected to your system and they have the ability to renew your life. If somebody is ASS, they can change the bone marrow. When they change the bone marrow and they do the transplant, the person's body would begin to produce new kinds of blood. Science has proven that there is life in your bone. Science has proven it. A lot of people are doing stem cell therapy, all these things, bone marrow extraction. Science has proven there is life, there is power, there is the ability to rejuvenate a body from the bones. So, what is it that we take away that gives us bone from the body? You take away the flesh. How do you take away the flesh? You reduce food. Say, he said, I cannot have children. Well, if I cannot have children, then let me cook, be eating, and be enjoying my life. So in the morning, you combine croissant with a pizza, all these things. You don't. You need your bones now. So what do? You reduce food. You begin to eat fruit and water, fruit and water, fruit and water, fruit and water, to the point where your bones will ache. Where you will know that people will say, you are losing weight. You are losing weight. What's wrong? You just smile at them. You will abstain from sex for some time. You allow your body to rejuvenate itself, to rekindle itself, to come by itself. And then when your body comes alive by itself, you just notice that you are sleeping. And you notice that your body begins to move. Your body begins, the erection begins to come. This one is not normal. It's coming in the morning. It's coming at 2 a.m., coming at 4 a.m. You say, we are ready. Then you and your wife will then have that sex. The sperm that they said is dead, you will see that the cells that are producing the dead ones will have been taken out of your system. And your bone marrow will start your body. I cannot count the number of young men that have taught this. But I will tell them, you nobody that God has made, especially if you are born again, should ever say that any part of his body is dead. You just don't look at systems. You do not have a door, the ability to perceive, to see how God does his things. How God does his things. Show somebody something that happened to King Hezekiah. One day, when they said Hezekiah was sick, and they said the sickness was so terrible, and that God said to him he was going to die. All of us know that story, but many of us don't pay attention to system and strategies of scripture. When Isaiah came back to him and Isaiah said, God said he will live, some of us think that was what healed him. No, that wasn't what healed him. If Isaiah just said that and he said, God said he's giving 15 more years, and then Isaiah went back home, he will be dead. That's why many of us will give somebody a prophecy. God said you will live. Then the next day, the person will die. Then you come to me and you say, but I heard from the Lord clearly that the person will live. I said, and then I went to tell the person that the person will leave. Uh-huh. And then the next day, the person died. I'll say, but you didn't complete the assignment. Why? Because that he will leave is a word for his spirit. It is not a word for his flesh. You then have to ask the Lord, what does he have to do? The Bible said, Isaiah prepared the fig of lentils and gave it to Hezekiah. It's in that same scripture. Is there? It wasn't written in small letter. Is there? But many of the preachers and many of us, we just cut it off from. And God came back and said, show me a sign. Oh, the shadow shall go backward. The sergeant shall go forward. Then he gave him a fig of lentils. He deliberately prepared, in quotes, a concoction made of leaves, you see, for him. And he didn't do that by common sense. The Lord told him to. So again, you also receiving the word of prophecy, you must ask the Lord, okay, you said this man will not die. Thank you, Jesus. What does he have to do? What does he have to do? A lot of us don't bother to ask that second question. Somebody is sick on a sick bed. I remember a lady that had kidney issues, strong kidney problem. And it was the lady's daughter that came to call me to say, come and pray for my mom. So I got to where the mother was, and I saw that they have tried. What do I mean by that? They had invited a lot of people. Inside that room, there is Sele candle. There is coconut water. There is what they call lavender. Fragrances. Inside that same room, there is a red cloth that they've tied with something. Inside that same room, there is palm fronds that they have put in a bottle. Inside that same room, there are several kinds of anointing oil. Inside that same room, when I stepped into the room, it was as if I was entering into a herbalist's house. And the woman was lying there on the bed. She was ashen, pale, ashen. Her skin was absolutely ashen. You could see death in her face. And the family was trying to save her life. And so they've gone everywhere. They've done orthodox, they've done traditional. She must have eaten all sorts. She had all sorts in the room. And when I got there, I prayed for her. As I was about to leave, the Lord said to me, so who will take the glory? Who will take the glory now? Ladies and gentlemen, that was a question the Lord asked me. He said, who will take the glory now? Why? Because look at all the places they've been to. Then I've also come to join them now. So now, who will take the glory for our healing? Will it go to the herbalist? Will it go to Sele? Will it go to spiritualists? Will it go to... Or is it that all of us will share the glory? God will help them. God and the other, everybody will share it. Is that it? Because I've seen that scenario happen before, and I knew how I felt when a lady was looking for the fruit of the womb, and she had gone to many places, so many places. She had done many things, and she couldn't get the baby. Then she came to JSWMI. She met me on Twitter, and then she came to me. And when she came, she said, please, I've cried my eyes out. Even now, my eyes are paining me because of this shame. Please, just give me attention. But I mean, God, give me attention. And I do not give individual attention to anybody like that. But she was adamant. So eventually, I had to go reach out to her. Prayed with her. The Lord answered her prayer and gave her a set of twins. When the babies were born, come and see all the people that showed up saying that she should come to their church for Thanksgiving. Everybody that she had been to before, all of them showed up trying to take the glory for the children. She knew the truth. So the day they were going to do the dedication at One Baptist Church in Lagos, I went there. And then I saw all the people that showed up. Myself and my brother went there. I deliberately sat far away from where every other person. I just stood away from them. As all of them were gushing, I said, God, I was just looking. I was just looking at them. She came to meet me. I'm very sorry. You know, these people have been there over the years. They've been there over the months. They've been there over the weeks. I said, well, thank God all of them are Christians. You didn't go to herbalist. You didn't go to anybody. So in this case, I understand it. You are dedicating the child in the house of God. You are dedicating the child in a Christian way. The babies in a Christian way. I'm happy. When you are giving back to them, I was there. I was the one that carried them out of the blood. The duty that husband ought to do On the day you are delivering the babies, I was there. So I have dedicated them to the Lord. Every other thing you do is a joke. It's fine, but I have done my duty. For these children came out of the word of God to me, and I knew when they came. So then, in this woman's case, the one with the kidney, how would you sort that out? So I then turned to the husband and I told the husband, you have to clear out everything. Do you want to have to be healed? He said, I cannot imagine that you have put all these things here because you are trying to prevent death from coming. The room itself is untidy with all these things. Only God knows how many kind of germs you have introduced into this woman's her life because you want to save her life. How can one room have all these things? All these things on the floor, all these things on the wall, all these things. He said, they are. I shall do. We are praying, and we give it to us. Somebody will give us this. Somebody will give us that. I said, you do Christians. You are not good Christians. Since when did the candle prevent people from dying? when did candle become death preventer? Or since when did the black oil or anointing oil or all those things, did when were they given the power to stop death? There's only one power that stops death in its track, and that power is the power of Jesus Christ in the Holy Ghost. So I told him to clear everything. But if you don't clear everything, your life will not be well. Clear everything out. And when you clear everything out and you know that you've cleared everything, I'll come, I'll lead her to Christ, and I'll pray for her, and she'll be restored. You see, that way we will know that we know the one that worked. I didn't just want to join the queue of all the whatever you've tried. It is either this one works or it doesn't. If it was working before, if the others were working, they won't come and call me. And so when they cleared everything, and everything was gone, and then I was going to minister to her, the Lord said, give her communion. You see? So I could have gone there and said, hurrah. Just said, give her communion. She was made whole. So many of us do not pay attention to the systems, to the processes, to the instructions. We will hear God to say, like somebody saying, it's like you coming to somebody and saying, ah, please, I need 1 million naira to start a business. And the person now looks at that, the person says, oh, okay, yeah, you know I love you. You are my sister. You've been there for me. Yeah, it is done. How many of us will leave? Okay, because that person said it is done. You will see wait. You will not say, ah, it is done. I'm going home. You will see wait to collect the check. Will you not? He has spoken. That is the word. But you will wait for the action. You will say, if you then say, oh, call me my PA, or this is my checkbook, or what's your account number? I'll transfer the money. That's when the deed is done. That's when it's complete. There has to be an instruction that ensures that the word of God fulfills that which that is said to do. Otherwise, you would be doing it the wrong way. You will go with the word, but there will be no instruction. So today I'm speaking Edo, I'm talking perception, awareness. Having that awareness, having that spiritual awareness that if the Lord has sent you on an errand or told me to do something, he would give me clear-cut instructions. He will tell me what to do, which will be the word. That one can never fail. And then he will tell me, okay, when you get there, this is what to do. And the missionary who was trying to plant the church, and the church will not do well. Everywhere he goes, they will chase him. When he went to Erua, they almost killed him. They said he was using Indomie to lure their children. He wanted to use their children for ritual. And he thought, by giving the children Indomie, that you'll be able to attract the children to the fellowship and then their parents will follow them. He had used several types of styles and systems to try and build a community of believers. It didn't work. And so he came to me and he said, well, I think, do you know God called me? But I've never been able to gather anybody, no matter where I go. I've never been able to gather anybody. Nobody wants to hear me. Nobody wants to listen to me. They despise me. I feel useless. I'm not feeling purpose. I told him, hey, did the Lord tell you to do this work? He said, yes. I said, where did he tell you to go? He said, God did not see. I said, ah. How can you be a missionary? So are you the devil? Are you supposed to be walking to Afro? Are you supposed to be walking to Afro on the face of the earth? Is that God didn't send you to a people? He didn't say go to Macedonia, he didn't say go to this place, he didn't go to that place. You just woke up, God said you are a missionary. Okay. Missionary to who? Missionary to where? You didn't wait. Okay, now you went for training as a missionary. Said there, so they posted you. Was that where God said you should go? He said no. I said, okay. Let me show you where you should go. I joined hands with him to pray. And I started praying. 10 minutes. I said, okay, what did the Lord show you? He said, I saw myself beside the place where there's a river. I said, okay. Let's pray again. Which direction is that? He prayed. Oh, he said, God said I should go to Jeba area. I said, do you know anybody in Jeba? He said, no. Have you ever been there before? He said, no, I've never had my missionary work. I've not taken me there. How are you convinced that it is Jeba God is sending you? He said, oh, I saw myself. I saw there's a bridge there. I saw the river. And then I saw welcome to Jeba. I said, okay, go to Jeba. If you see his ministry now, see his ministry now. Why? Because there is a idol. There is awareness. There is a consciousness that God is specific. That God is specific. That God can take your life and say, okay, this is the direction I'm sending you to, and this is where you should go. God will not just say, God has called me to ministry. Okay. To do what? I shared with some of us who know me before how I missed my path. I went to become a pastor. And everybody here will say, hey, pastor's work is God's work. Well, God didn't call me to be a pastor. And I didn't know. And all the years I spent as a pastor, I suffered tremendously. I always felt out of place. I couldn't settle well into how other pastors settled. I always felt out of place. When I'm in a place, I'll be like, should I be here? Is this where God has come into? When they post me, I'll go to another place. I'll be like, should I be here? I mean, every turn, there was no settlement in my spirit. There was no sense of being at home. I always felt like a foreigner. So I couldn't find my center. So I couldn't minister effectively. Once in a while, the power of God will move. And I would think, oh, this is it. This is my Azusa experience. From here, things will begin to happen. It will just die. Again, I will have maybe one meeting. So people will give their life to Christ. I will say, yeah, okay, from here, things will peak. Never peaked. Tried starting a ministry, gave it a name, Act Like Ministry International, failed. I tried another one, failed. I took my eyes off it. I said, maybe God didn't call me to do this. Until the Lord told me specifically, hey, I've called you to write. Start right. See? I was called, but I didn't have the modus operandi. When I began to write, things began to come together. Things began to come of their own accord. Things began to come together. So in the days of his power, each individual Christian must develop the ability to perceive. Eido, E-I-D-O. The ability to see, to sense. The ability to have an awareness. A knowledge that comes from being in the presence of God. That comes from knowing yourself. You see, You will know what you are capable of. It's like reading the manual of a product you just bought. So you'll be like, hey, so this washing machine can also spin. Oh, wow, it can also dry. Wow, it can also iron. Well, I didn't know. You see? Ah, so that's how. But when you gain an awareness, you know it can do it, then you begin to put it to work. So in the days of his power, we know that God is capable of doing all things. And we know that man is limited. He can do many things, but he's limited to do the things of God. We know that if a man wants to walk in the supernatural, he therefore must learn the ways of God from God. God has to teach him. Otherwise, he wouldn't know what he is capable of. He wouldn't know. Some of us will think Elisha was happy that when he caused little children, a bear just came out of nowhere and killed them. No. He was angry. He didn't know what he was capable of. He was going, they were singing, bad man, go up, bad man, come down. And then he got angry. And then he was like, Gah! And then a bear came. Did you notice that he never did it again? In fact, the day he met Ahab and Jehoshaphat, and they were going to war, and he got angry. He said, it is because of Jehoshaphat that I'm greeting you. I have nothing to say to you. He was angry. And then Jehoshaphat said, my father, calm down. My father, calm down, please. My father. He then calmed down. Then they said, we want you to pray so that you can give us a word of prophecy. Did you notice that? He couldn't. Because of his temper. They now went to get him a minstrel. He said they should bring him a minstrel, that the minstrel will sing, so that he can find the center. By this time, he had experience. He has learned from that bear experience. He has learned that he was capable of calling forth a bear with anger. He had learned. Because when the power of God comes upon you, most of us, we just go with it. We don't know the capacity or the capability. And we cannot know everything in one day. So you do some trial and error. You do some things. And then over time, you now master it. So you must learn about the power of God from God. In order to be an effective witness of the gospel. So that the city they told you to go and save, you will not call that fire on top of their head and curse them. So that when you get to a place and they said the water is bad, you can look at the system and process and say, I can heal this water. I can heal this water. And then you take your Bible and you look at it. How did Elisha heal the water? It took a brand new cruse. It took salt. It took this. It took that. And then he went to the source of the water. He poured it. He blessed the water. And the water was made whole. I said, oh, I can also do this. And when they are talking about it, they say, there's a family. In that family, they have a long history of dying young, of this, of that. You can say, Lord, what can I do? And the Lord can say, oh, break bread with them. The Lord can say, oh, let them pray for 2 or 3 days. You will not take these things from your head. Like many religious pastors do, you just say, go and fast for 3 days, read Psalm 116, 3 times. In fact, some of them wrote these things down. They have a diary for it, as if they are writing this thing, incantation book of of the traditional herbalist people. They wrote these things down, and they prescribe it in the flesh without the backing of the spirit. They lack a idol. The word of God is precise. The power of God in the life of a born again Christian is not it's not negotiable. It is the truth. It is so real that the born again Christian can appear in 2 or 3 places at the same time if you understood how to wield the power of God. That's the absolute truth. If anybody told you, oh no, it's impossible, tell them they've not seen the power of God. They've not seen the power of God at work. The things that I tell you, they are faithful, they are true. And there are things that you can manifest, but you must gain an awareness. You must gain a hidden. When I speak tomorrow, I'll speak on consciousness. But awareness is the first step towards manifesting the power of God. Not awareness of evil, because a lot of us are aware of the wrong things. A lot of Christians are very much aware of demons. They are aware of enemy of father's house. They are aware of a strong man in their village that is killing them. They are aware of a strong man that is killing them. They are aware of witches and wizards. They are aware of evil arrow. They are aware of all the things that a Christian should not even see. You know, all those things I've talked to you about, a Christian should not be aware of them. The reason is very simple. The Bible says that you have been brought out of darkness into his marvelous light. Therefore, what you should be aware of now is light. You shouldn't have anything to do with the work of darkness, not even in your memory, not even in your mind, not even in your dreams, not even in your imagination. But because many Christians don't know that, they focus on darkness, but they're in the light. So their awareness is consistently of darkness. Do not be one of those who peddle wrong awareness. So when they pray, rather than call forth the instruments of warfare of the light, they will be calling for the instrument of warfare of darkness. You will see them saying, "Oh, anyone that wants to kill me, die." Death is not an instrument of light. Death is an instrument of darkness. But you will see Christians shouting, "Die, die, 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 die." So they will be calling demons. because they are looking in the wrong direction. And they do not have awareness. When you are in the light, you behave as the light. You talk as the light. You act as the light. You think as the light. You are aware of the light. Your consciousness is a consciousness of the light. And you experience only the things that the light brings. That is where you are now. You have left darkness behind. You have not come into its marvelous light. It is important that I share with you this thing this day, that your consciousness may shift the right way. When a Christian is praying, you will see some of the fathers in faith, you will see some of them, they are advocates of, they say it's believers, of people saying negative things in the presence of God and thinking they are praying. They are praying, they are cursing. They will be cursing. Anybody that says it will not be well with me. Father, let him not eat the fruit of his labor. Somebody call that prayer for you. Somebody will call that prayer for them and they will pray it. And it is against the words of Jesus. He said, "Bless, curse not." The utterance of light is blessing. The words in the mouth of a believer, they are blessing. We are the evidence of God's blessings to the world. We are the blessed ones, the ones that have been chosen from the foundation of the earth to bring reconciliation to all men, to make all of God's enemies his friends. We are not the ones that are supposed to be taking on bribes and be cursing and be saying all that. We are not the ones that are supposed to be saying that. But because we don't know, because we have faith, but we are ignorant of the truth, we embrace the things that we are supposed to distance ourselves from. And then somebody told me, "Oh, if you don't pray that kind of prayer, that means you don't have the fire. Those are fire prayers." Do you know what being foolish means? Do you know what the definition of foolishness? That somebody thinks that it is fire prayer. When they say, "Father, oh," and they'll be shouting, "Die, die." So they think that is wisdom. Oh, that is being foolish. That is doubling down on wrong and insisting it is right. In order for us to pray effectively, we are given a language by which to pray. That we should not pray in a fallen language, that we should pray in a language that is from above. So we are given tongues. You cannot be praying in tongues and be cursing anybody, except you take your mind away from God and you begin to put your mind in issues. When you are praying in tongues, the Bible says your mind does not profit, which means you cannot hold on to any kind of negative thoughts, any kind of attack my consciousness, any kind of incantation consciousness or somebody cosmic consciousness. Every time you are praying like that, you cannot, your mind is tabula, your mind is going to be plain. That's what Apostle Paul said, when we are praying in tongues, our minds does not profit. It means we cannot hold on to conscious human thoughts. So because you cannot hold on to conscious human thoughts, you cannot be cursing anybody, you cannot be angry with anybody, you cannot be thinking of witches and all. No. You are praying in the spirit, and then the Lord begins to give you utterance. That's what the Bible says. The Holy Ghost will then give you utterance. That utterance is actually then what God wants you to say in understanding. So if you have a door, you are praying in tongues. And as you are praying like that, suddenly the word of God comes to you. The Lord goes and says, oh, there's somebody that has this unhealthy appetite. Strange appetites. Easy Igodon, IZIEIGODAN. I'm not giving you spelling of tongues. That's the name of the person. Either the person is on call now, or the person is not on call now. The Lord said, he has taken away that strange appetite from you. You see, if I was praying die prayer, how can I hear that? If I was saying, this thing die, and all the die prayers are not, you don't even know if they are correct or not. It's not as if you did any diagnosis. Somebody will just write some prayer points. You just be shouting them. It's not as if the person knows you personally or God gave you the, you just be shouting them. In fact, sometimes they will say, any evil woman that is cooking the glory of my life, please, all those things, these people with more big understanding and thoughts that they teach and that we buy into. How do they make any sense? But when you are praying in tongues, the Lord says to tell somebody, Folashade, that's your name. The Lord said, I've restored the femur in your left leg. I've restored it. You are not fine. How did I know that? How did I know that? How can anybody write that in a prayer book? When you pray in the Holy Ghost, you then receive divine inspiration. As you pray in the Holy Spirit, you receive divine utterance. As you pray in the Holy Spirit, you receive divine impressions. As you pray in the Holy Spirit, you receive visions. As you pray in the Holy Spirit, you receive word of knowledge, word of wisdom. These are the things that the Holy Spirit then gives you, that will then shape your life and take you away from the consciousness of darkness, so that you dwell in mystery. You dwell in a mysterious place, in a place where no one can trouble or disturb or distort the reality of your life. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. Remember what the Bible says? The secret of the Lord is with me because I fear him. Because I do things according to his word. I do not just go and bash my head against the stone. I don't go guessing. I don't. And you should be a custodian of the secrets of the Lord too, but you have to be aware. You have to be aware. In the place of prayer, you are not looking for negative. In the place of prayer, you are just open for divine instruction. You are just open to divine instruction. Open. You are just open to divine instruction. And as you pray, when the Lord is speaking to you, you take a pen, you write, or you take your phone, you record it. It may not make sense at the beginning, When you brood on it for some time, it will begin to come together. And then you will be able to form a plan of action on what to do. Our God is a communicating God. But if you are not aware of him, the Bible said that Moses was not aware that God was where he was. So the angel of the Lord told him, take off your shoe. For where you are is holy ground. You see, the angel brought him awareness. He had no awareness. He had no ego. But when the angel spoke, he quickly became aware. Said, hey! And then he took off his shoe. And then he got to hear the voice of God. If he didn't take off the shoe, he would not hear. So there's always instruction. And you must be aware of it. I do not like it when Christians say, God don't speak to me. I'm born again and speak in tongues. God does not speak to me. When a Christian is talking like that, the Christian is blocking his consciousness the more. That's not a statement of fact. Jesus himself said that I'm a good shepherd. He said, my sheep hear my voice. So which means a Christian automatically hears from God until he begins to say, I don't hear. I don't hear. I don't hear. So when you are saying you don't hear, how can you hear? When that's what you're I don't hear, but you're a child of God, you are full of the Holy Spirit, you speak in tongues, and you are confessing you don't hear. So it is contrary, because you are not hearing in the flesh, even though your spirit is hearing. All you have to do is bring your spirit, your flesh, into subjection, that what your spirit is hearing, you might know it. For anybody that speaks in tongues hear from God, any one of us, as long as you are speaking in tongues, you can hear from God. The same spirit that speaks is the same spirit that hears. It's very simple. It is not another spirit that will come and hear for you. You are speaking in tongues. You are full of the Holy Ghost. You are speaking in tongues. The same spirit that speaks is the same spirit that hears. It's not another spirit. So automatically you can hear from God. But because you speak in tongues, just make all sort of noise. Just make all sort of noise. You do not pray with a consciousness. You think it is in the abundance of words. Sometimes, normally when you pray in tongues, sometimes you go into lapses of silence. It's not sleep. You are praying in tongues. And then the Lord begins to speak. And you just go silent with your hands lifted. There's a guy here, Camille. The Lord says to tell you that you have built with somebody else's sweat. He said, make it right. Make it right. You have built somebody else's belt, make it right. Make it right. This is a call for you to do the right thing, because the Lord doesn't want to visit you in a particular kind of way. So you go into certain kind of silence, you hear the Lord. Every believer can hear the Lord. But the one that says, I don't hear, I never hear. But one of the things that the believer is supposed to do is that as soon as you receive the Holy Ghost, your confession as a Christian changes. Well, if you have a do, you will know that a Christian do not talk negative. It is not allowed. From the moment you become a Christian, your words must rhyme with how the heavens speak. In heaven, the Bible says there are no tears, there's no sorrow, no death, no pain, there's no negative. All of the words of Jesus are yes and amen. So you try to align yourself with yes and amen mindsets. That is the truth. So every time you are confessing in the spirit or about spiritual things, your mind is geared towards yes and amen. When you are talking to fellow people and they say, oh, do you have this? You can say, oh, I don't have it, right? That is not a spiritual conversation. That's an horizontal conversation. But when you are in the presence of God, don't say, Father, no. You say, Father, I thank you because all that I ask you have given unto me. But that not just Christ raised Lazarus. Did you not read it in the Bible? Did he raise him first? before you give thanks? No. He said, Father, thank you. Thank you for all that I ever asked you have given unto me. Thank you, Father. And then he said, Lazarus, come forth. When he was there and he was talking, and all of them said Lazarus was dead, he didn't notice that from the beginning. He said Lazarus was sleeping. When they pressed him, he then switched to a horizontal conversation. So at first he spoke esoteric. He said, oh, Lazarus was sleeping. The Lord said, oh, if he's sleeping, that means he's fine. That means he'll soon get better. He now realized that he didn't get that he was speaking in a higher language. He then switched down and then he said to them, Lazarus was dead, but so that you can be witnesses of what I'm about to do, so that you can be beneficiaries of the miracle, so that you can experience and see the miracle, Lazarus is dead. So he came down to horizontal communication and said it the way it is. So, of course, as a Christian, you can come down to horizontal communication. If I'm talking to a Muslim, an unbeliever, they say, this project, how much do you have on God? Say, I have 10 million. But this project, how much you finish it? 300 million. Say, it is impossible. Do you think I make this project? You can tell the person that, oh, well, I'm trusting God. That's horizontal communication. When I'm talking to a fellow Christian, you say, Hachakatapana. I know that the Lord of hosts is on that project. I know I will not be put to shame on that project. That project will be done. You are not switched to better communication because you have awareness that in the kingdom, there's a way we talk. We don't talk fear. We don't talk failure. We don't talk dead. He said, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Let the weak say, I am strong. Stand on the scripture. And so you begin to learn that because you have awareness. You shouldn't be full of the Holy Spirit and be living your life without the awareness of the ways and means of the Holy Ghost. That is how we kill the flow of the Spirit. We cut short the flow of the Spirit. We cut away the cycle of the Spirit. That's how we sabotage the reality of the Spirit. We do that and we do not pay attention to the things we ought to pay attention to. So a lot of ministers come to me complaining. I just look at them and say, am I the one that taught you how you are talking? They will then keep quiet. Because they still haven't gotten it. I have ministers that have gotten it, that are flying. And the reason is, no matter what they are facing, no matter, they know that they are not alone in the job. They know that there is capacity. They know that they are the only ones that can limit themselves. So they do not have a limiting mentality. They have the right awareness, the right mindset, and all that. And their ministries go from strength to strength to strength to strength to strength. And so does their family, so does their businesses. Every time I don't want to mention this, every time I saw the ministers, how they push, how their capacity is enlarged, how they can replicate what they are doing in ministry with what they are doing for secular work, with their achievements among the living. You look at them and you say, wow, wow. Thank you, Jesus. They've learned it, they've gotten it. They as they are opening estates, they are buying other projects, they are doing other projects, the ministry they are handling it with excellence, with results. So you can see that it is not one-sided, but you see some people, oh my God, they are so wired for 9-to-5 work that even with ministry, it is the 9-to-5 human corporate brain that they use to apply to ministry work. It will work. It won't work. A Christian is a multidimensional being. You give unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar. You give unto God what belongs to God. It won't work. I'm saying it to you. Yeah, I've mastered it. I'll use corporate style to run my church. I've heard people say it before. I say, what is he talking about? No, because I have corporate experience. You know, I've been in banking for 35 years, 20 years. So I have corporate training, corporate leadership skill for the things of the Spirit. You must be joking. You must be drinking kunu and fura. work. You now get stuck. Now say, but I mean, God, what is it? It's not working. Number is not good there. This one is not. How can it? Do you think the kingdom of heaven is your office? There are systems and strategies of the kingdom. You must learn them. You can't adopt a human approach to celestial reality. You must have an idol. You must be willing to learn, and you must have an idol. You must have the ability to open your ears and learn the things of the kingdom. You must learn it. And so this is the consciousness I bring to you today, the awareness, the idol, so that you can begin to do things properly in the days of his power, so that you will not be left out. As you pray, you must begin to hear and come into the fullness of the grace of God. Glory to God. It's time to give an offering. Lord has given us instructions over the years. Every time we have a general meeting like this, said we should ensure that we raise money for the poor. So this offering for the next 30 days, you will hear from me. I collect it myself because I do not want to stand guilty before God. I don't allow anybody to make announcement for me. So that is my voice you are hearing. My name is Gbenga Samuel Oromo, and by the grace of God, I'm the leader of Gbenga Samuel Oromo Ministry International, Gbenga Samuel Oromo Widows Ministry, Gbenga Samuel Oromo's other ministries. All of them are on my Twitter profile. There are plenty. And by the grace of God, the ministry is doing excellently well before God. We have testimonies of great and mighty deeds of God all over the world. So we are not a poor ministry by any chance. But the Lord told us that every time we have an open session like this, we must allow people to participate and be a blessing. And that we must give whatever comes in to the poor and the needy. And so, it doesn't matter how much it is. What matters, just make sure. Because the Lord says we should give unto them as if we are giving unto him. We've been doing it for about 2 years. And we're doing it every three months. So that means it will be like the fifth one or the sixth one there about that we are doing. And every time we do it, people come out of it blessed financially in every other way. I don't like encouraging give money so that I can get money kind of teaching. I just wanted to know that give as obedient children. Uh-huh. I give well. Like I said, this is the month where I tackle the most difficult, anything difficult in the year, that with people, or this is the month I tackle it. And every time my results, I've always come out with excellent A's on every count before the Lord, especially as regards the work he has given me to do. So please, as you give, know that excellence, know that blessings, know that power, know that glory, you know that the Lord himself is looking down and is blessing all his children. In the days of his power, you shall be willing. His people shall be willing. The mountain of the house of the Lord shall be exalted. Nations will troop into it. We will be the ones teaching the world the strategies of the kingdom. We will learn them, we will teach them, they will grow by them, and they will become children of the living God. Our results will be exponential. All our children shall be taught of the Lord. Grace shall be their peace. We will not know poverty. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we will lend unto nations. We will never borrow. By the power of the Holy Spirit, as we give, our banks remain full and overflowing. By the power of the Holy Spirit, the nations where you dwell, the Lord has won them for you and given them to you as a prize and as a gift. In every nation of the world where you are hearing me, the Lord has given you the power to subdue, to replenish, to expand, to own, and to sit in a position of authority, and to own your territories for Christ. Thank you, Father, for all things are ours. Blessed be your holy name. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let somebody shout, glory!
Glory!
We hope today's teaching has been a blessing to you. We invite you to join us again for more inspiring messages and engaging prayer sessions. To learn more about the ministry, Please visit us at our website at www.gswmi.com. Thank you, and may you continue to walk in God's abundant blessings always.